Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This morning, Paul tells us, commands us, to rejoice in the Lord always. And then he repeats himself again. I will say, rejoice. Since we have apostolic command, let's rejoice. Let us rejoice especially because yesterday a man was snatched from the mouth of Hades. A man's flesh was restored after it had begun to rot. And we learn that Christ himself was sent from the Father to accomplish the work of salvation. That we have heard the confirmation and seen in Lazarus the universal resurrection. And today we have much to rejoice in, for our Lord continues his journey to bring us out of death, to confirm for us his salvation worked out for us. And he does this through his meekness and humility. We also have much to rejoice in, for yesterday we also received 12 souls into the bosom of the church. We have much to rejoice in. And Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. So even when we do not have the celebration of Lazarus' resurrection, that we do not have the celebration of our Lord entering into Jerusalem, or the fact that we have received 12 yesterday, because just in a few days we'll have much to rejoice in, even though our Lord is betrayed, spat upon, that the voices that cried out, Hosanna, will then turn and shout out, crucify him. And we should hear Paul again say, again I will say, rejoice. What we gain in our liturgical life is that Scripture itself gains a depth. That when we hear Paul read to us in the assembly, the gathering together of the saints, is that the liturgical experience of the text gains multi-dimensions. We become churchy people, to coin a term that's not very, it doesn't really have a ring to it, but we become ecclesial, maybe to use some Greek. Our mind, our heart, our spirit is formed and shaped by the word of God proclaimed in the body of Christ. For as we hear in our hymnody, yesterday Lazarus was raised out of the tomb, and we were with the Lord in that act. We were with Mary and Martha. We were with the apostles. Today we are with the young children and the multitudes, for we, if you hear in our hymnody, carry the palms of victory. We will also walk throughout this week with our Lord through all of the betrayal, darkness, envy, greed, all of the things that attempt to swallow our Lord alive. And we will walk with him. And we will find within our hearts all of the things that we encounter that attempt to swallow our Lord alive. Because, brothers and sisters, those things dwell within our own heart. But then we should hear Paul again say, again I will say, rejoice. For we do not sorrow as those who do not have hope. We have a hope because Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, because Jesus has set his face to the cross, and because we know, as we celebrate even today, our Lord is risen from the dead. Paul tells us, after commanding, encouraging, and repeating himself to rejoice, he says that our gentleness should be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Gentleness may not be a virtue or a gift of the Spirit that we often contemplate, but there is something powerful in gentleness, as we see in our Lord's entry into Jerusalem, the meekness, the gentleness by which he calls out to all men to be saved. And for us to emulate this, to ask for this gentleness. There's nothing like the Lenten struggle to underline and bold for us our harshness and our anger. There's nothing like fasting to push you beyond hangry. We are called to gentleness and to be known by everyone for our gentleness. The rejoicing that we have in what our Lord has accomplished in Lazarus and his entrance into Jerusalem, this is the experience that shaves off, that rubs off all of our harsh corners. For gentleness is not just kind of a sickly, sweet, syrupy kindness. This is true love, patience, humility, meekness, such that our Lord can hear the cries of Hosanna, but knowing that those cries are going to change, and yet he does it for their sake. We must remember that the Lord is at hand. That remembering that God is everywhere present, remembering who God is, not just an abstract idea of God, but that God that we see in his friendship with Lazarus and the tears that we saw yesterday, the groaning of his soul, to today when the King of the universe, the one enthroned in heaven, sits on a little donkey. This is the God that is at hand. This is, of course, the reason why we can hear Paul when he tells us, and especially a word for this day and this age, be anxious for nothing. I think one of the most surprising things for me in priestly ministry is the amount of anxiety that I have been exposed to, not just personally, but just hearing from people, that we live in a restless age, that we are anxious about many, many things. But we are told by the apostle to be anxious for nothing. This is not just an Instagram reel that is supposed to be about self-care. This is apostolic teaching rooted in the reality of God. That we are to be anxious for nothing because we have made everything known to God in prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. That we make all of our requests, from the smallest, teeny, tiniest thing that you think maybe doesn't matter, to God. That is the thing that's bothering you. That's exactly the places that you need to pray from. Let all of your requests be known. Prayer, supplication. But do not forget thanksgiving. The antidote to anxiety and being anxious is to be giving thanks always for all things that God has given us. This is how the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, but that dwells and is accessible to us through our hearts, will guard our hearts and our minds because of Jesus Christ. And finally, brethren, Paul tells us to meditate on all things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, things that are virtuous and full of praise. These are the things that we are to feed upon. These are the things that we are to contemplate. And what a feast we have for us this week. If there is anything that I would recommend, and if there is a way to command, then to command, is come to the services. You will be fed. You will be able to have the space to contemplate truth nobility, justice, purity, loveliness, all things of good report, virtue and things full and worthy of our praise, because we will be gazing upon the face of our Lord. We need the womb of the church that is the liturgical life to help us learn how to pray, help us to elevate our minds and our hearts, to cast aside our anxieties, to grow in gentleness. There is nothing like liturgical piety of putting ourselves small before God and his saints by bowing down, by asking for help that calms and soothes our souls, that allows us to rejoice. So, brothers and sisters, as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death this week, let us hear Paul reminding us again and again on this day, as we still hear the echoing sound of Hosanna, that we also hear rejoice, because our Lord is coming to snatch us from Hades, to restore us, to bring us life, salvation, and all good things. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.